Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Joel, you going to sing one for us this morning?
Yes, by God's grace, dear brother.
Okay, go ahead.
There is no other name like Jesus. 'Tis the dearest name we know. 'Tis the angel's joy in heaven. 'Tis the Christian's joy below. Sweet name, dear name. There's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name. There's no other name like Jesus. There's no other name like Jesus. When the heart with grief is sad, there's no other name like Jesus. When the heart is free and glad, sweet name, dear name. There's no other name like Jesus, sweet name, dear name. There's no other name like Jesus. 'Tis the hope that I shall see him when in glory he appears. 'Tis the hope to hear his welcome that my fainting spirit cheers. Sweet name, dear name. There's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name. There's no other name like Jesus. If he wills that I should labor in his vineyard day by day, then 'tis well if only Jesus blesses all I do or say. Sweet name, dear name. There's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name. There's no other name like Jesus. If he wills that death's cold finger touch my feeble mortal clay, then 'tis well if only Jesus is my dying trust and stay. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Amen. Seven blessings to you all.
Thank you. We'll worship the King. Who else should we worship? Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. All gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might and sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath a deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
Amen. Wake the song of joy and gladness, hither bring your noblest lays. Banish every thought of sadness, pouring forth your highest praise. Sing to him whose care has brought us once again with friends to meet, and whose loving voice has taught us of the way to Jesus' feet. Wake the song, the song of joy and gladness. Wake the song of jubilee. Joyfully with songs and banners, we will greet the festal day. Shout aloud our grand hosannas, and our grateful homage pay. We will chant our Savior's glory, while our thoughts we raise above, telling still the old, old story, precious theme, redeeming love. Wake the song of joy and gladness. Wake the song, the song of jubilee. Thanks to thee, O Holy Father, for the mercies of the year. May we each heart, as we gather, swell with gratitude sincere. Thanks to thee, O loving Savior, for redemption through thy blood. Breathe upon us, Holy Spirit, sweetly draw us near to God.
Wake the song, wake the song of joy and gladness. Wake the song, wake the song of jubilee. Amen. I think your mic's off there, brother.
Hey, but unmute myself. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. All right, looks like I'm running out of time here. I'll come back and sing the last two verses with you next time. Provided, as they say in Spanish, Dios mediante or primero Dios, in English, Lord willing. Okay, Rose, I think it's your turn.
Amen. Dios mediante. Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. On this Sabbath, August 9th, 2025, this is our review for our lesson 440, entitled Go Teach All Nations, Part 6. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with a tiny theme hymn entitled Peace, Perfect Peace, number 463.
Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed, to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away. In Jesus keeping we are safe and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and He is on the throne.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. We are going to ask the little ones to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please keep the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall they labor do all their work in the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Give it to the people that's sharing the Sabbath, the people that's in the Sabbath. And please protect everybody that's in the Sabbath. Thank us for the new words and new chapters and new things that we're going to learn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. This time that we're going to let the little ones be able to share their testimony and their parents of all the blessings they have been in their household and in every endeavor. May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For this week's Mommies and Daddies Little Helpers, I would like to highlight again Haley and Emma. And this is for work that they did outside of the house. There was a back-to-school giveaway that was thrown by one of someone that we know. And so we went there because we go there every year. They invite us. But this year, Haley and Emma wanted to volunteer to be at the table to be able to help to pack the book bag so that they could give away to other people. And so that was a blessing that they were willing to labor in that capacity to be a helping hand to bless so many other little ones and their families. So I wanted to take a moment to thank the Lord for their willingness. And may they continue in this capacity in every area that they may be. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If there's any little ones and their household they would like to share, may you unmute your mic. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask the little ones to be attentive in these few lessons. If they have any questions, they can be able to either ask their parents or we can be able to discuss it here. So it's story time, little ones. So let's have a listening ear and we are going to go through chapter 26. Entitled He's Risen, but this is a part three of our storybook, The Story of Jesus. And our dear brother will be the one to share.
All right, the Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the books of Matthew and Revelation today. Matthew 28:2 says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door of Jesus' sepulcher and sat upon it." And in Revelation 16:18, it says, "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." Now, we just had some earthquakes around the world here recently, and we thought they were pretty great. But they weren't mighty earthquakes. Jesus came forth with the tread of a conqueror, or the steps of a conqueror. At his presence, the earth reeled and lightning flashed. I don't have a lightning device, but you look at the screen, they've got some lightning pictures up there. And the thunder rolled. Now, we don't have any sound here, but an earthquake marked the hour when Christ laid down his life. An earthquake also witnessed the moment when he took it up again. Satan was bitterly angry at his angels and fled at the Satan was bitterly angry that his angels had fled at the approach of the heavenly messengers. I wonder why he wasn't there himself. He had dared to hope that Christ would not take up his life again, and that the plan of redemption was to fail. But he saw the Savior come forth from the tomb in triumph, and hope, all hope, was lost. Satan now knew that his kingdom would have an end, and that he must finally be destroyed. This is from the story of Jesus, page 156. All right.
So before we have the review, next Sabbath we will begin a new chapter, and that's chapter 27 of our lesson entitled, Go Tell My Disciples, in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place, dear ones, August 16, 2025. And I will hand it back to our dear brother.
All right. In review, what happened when Jesus came forth with the tread of a conqueror?
The answer to number one is the earth reeled, the lightning flashed, and the thunder rolled.
Yes. Things were shaking quite a bit then, or under that earthquake. Who was bitterly angry that his angels had fled? And from whom?
The answer to number two is Satan and the approaching heavenly messengers.
Who was bitterly angry that Satan and his angels had fled? And from whom? Well, they fled from their approaching heavenly messengers. All right. How did Satan know all hope was lost?
The answer to number three is he saw the Savior come forth from the tomb in
triumph.
Yes. He saw Jesus rise from the dead, and he knew. He said, I couldn't deceive him. I couldn't keep him in the ground. Now his kingdom is going to come and crush my kingdom. All right, and we have a bonus question here. What more did Satan come to know?
The answer to the bonus question is his kingdom would have an end, and that He must finally be destroyed.
Yes, he knew his kingdom was going to have to end. Oops, what did I do? Are you still there? Yeah, here we go. I've hit something wrong and my picture disappeared. My screen. All right, back to Rose.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. It is time for Tiny Tots and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. We are still in our topic, Mamas of the Bible. This is our review, and we are going to pass it to our dear brother that he will share.
Sad blessings. Here's our Bible verses for our lesson review. It's taken from the book of FBL, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 7, Jesus Calms the Storm. We first read Mark chapter 5, verses 17 to 20, and it reads, And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was come to the ship, yet he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great the things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. We'll be reviewing in the last lesson about the whales, in lesson 6, dolphins and whales. We'll be reading the spiritual insight before the nature lesson. And the memory verse is Mark 7:31, saying, again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. The character quality is the story of obedience versus willfulness. Obedience is compliance with God's commands done quickly and cheerfully. Depart from us. The manifestation of supernatural power aroused the superstitions of the people and excited their fears. Further calamities might follow from having this stranger among them. They apprehended financial ruin and determined to be freed from his presence. Those who had crossed the lake with Jesus told of all that had happened on the preceding night, of their peril in the tempest, how the wind and the sea had been stilled, but their words were without effect. In terror, the people thronged about Jesus, beseeching him to depart from them. He complied, taking ship at once for the opposite shore. But far different from the feeling of restored demoniacs, they desired the company of their deliverer. In his presence, they felt secure from the demons that had tormented their lives and wasted their manhood. As Jesus was about to enter the boat, they kept close to it. And to his side, knelt at his feet, and begged him to keep them near him, where they might ever listen to his words. But Jesus bade them go home, and tell what great things the Lord had done for them, the desire of his face, Peter 39. Do we ever turn away from the blessing Jesus wants to bring into our lives because it appears to be financially threatening? I pray that we don't. Though the people of Gergesa had not received Jesus, he did not lead them to the darkness they had chosen. And they bade him depart from them. They had not heard his words. They were ignorant of that which they were rejecting. Therefore, he again sent the light to them and by those to whom they would not refuse to listen. Desire of Ages, page 340. The two demoniacs obeyed Jesus and shared what he had done for them. Not only did they tell their own households and neighbors about Jesus, but they went through Decapolis everywhere, declaring his power to save. The desire of Ages, page 339. And you hear all the type of whales, well, among the few that people know of, we have the beluga whale, the common mink whale, the gray whale, the humpback whale, the blue whale, biggest whale, the fin whale, sei whale, sperm whale, and the narwhal. Here we have a drawing and picture of a rough-toothed dolphin. Here's one of it in black and white and one with it in color. And it says above, dolphins are very friendly and smart mammals. Sometimes the dolphins swim in herds of 100 to 1,000. Whales live in groups called herds, pods, or schools. Remember, whales communicate with one another by sound. Scientists don't know what information whales communicate. God, their creator, knows. Someday in heaven, he will reveal these secrets to us. What provisions did Jesus make for us to communicate with him? Prayer. He can hear our sounds of prayer from earth to heaven. Kneel right now and pray for your family. And here it says the rough-toothed dolphin, whose scientific name is Steno ferdinandensis. And its length is 2.25 meters or 7.4 feet. And here the measure of meters, 3 feet. And here it says the playful dolphins. Dolphins and larger whales get along with one another. They like to swim together. So the demoniacs wanted to travel with Jesus. God gave the dolphins a permanent smile. It can remind us how happy we will be when we are as obedient to God's laws as the lovable dolphins are. And here Here we have a list of cetaceans and of all different types of whales and bulls and dolphins. And we have their scientific names and things and measurements of how big they are. So here we have the blue whale, the biggest of all the whales and all animals for that matter. His scientific name is Balaenoptera musculus. His length is up to 29.5 meters or 97 feet. Then we have humpback whale, whose scientific name is Megaptera novaeanguae, its average length is 14 meters or 46 feet. Then we have the gray whale, whose scientific name is Ascriptius robustus. Its length is up to 15 meters or 49 feet. The narwhal, whose scientific name is Monodon monoceros. Its average length is 4 meters or 13 feet. And then there's the fin whale, whose scientific name is Balaenoptera thalassus. Its length is up to 27 meters or 89 feet. A beluga whale, whose scientific name is Delphinapterus lucas. Its length is up to 4 meters or 13 feet, same measurement as the narwhal. The sperm whale, whose scientific name is Physeter macrocephalus. Its length is 24 meters or 79 feet. The sei whale, scientific name is Balaenoptera borealis. Its length is up to 15 meters or 49 feet. The bowhead or Greenland right whale, whose scientific name is Balaena mysticetus. Its length is up to 20 meters or 66 feet. The mink whale, whose scientific name is Balaenoptera cuterostrata. Its length is up to 10 meters or 33 feet. The northern right whale, whose scientific name is Eubalaena glacialis. Its length is up to 18 meters or 59 feet. The bear's beak or giant ball nose whale. Its scientific name is Baridius baridi. Its length is up to 13 meters or 43 feet. The killer whale or orca, whose scientific name is Orsinus orca, is left. Its average length is just 8 meters or 26 feet. Then we have the dolphins and porpoise. We have ended our lesson 7 entitled Jesus Calms the Storm. And you can review or reread all 6 of the lessons from earlier for spare time. 1, weariness and hunger. 2, Jesus forgotten. 3, perfect peace. 4, madmen. 5, heals. 6, depart from us. And next up, we will give the new lesson 8 entitled Jesus Heals of Our Nature segment. It's reading is from Matthew 9:18-26, Mark 5:21-43, and Luke 8:40-56. Thank you for listening, everyone. And what can we learn from our nature walk experience, little ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. From our dear sister family, we have the blackberry bushes and the flowers on it. And it says here that the wild blackberry is officially known as Rubus fruticosus and is a genus of the rose family, Rosaceae. Its heritage becomes apparent when the attractive small, all pinkish white flowers emerge in late spring or early summer. According to escapetobritain.com/wild blackberry, Rubus ursinus, common name, the trailing blackberry or western blackberry California bush, the California blackberry, and drewberry. Its pronunciation was Rubus ursinus. Its family, Rosaceae, genus Rubus, its type, broadleaf, is native to or naturalized in Oregon. Yes, ursinus, a bear, referring to of a bear's favorite foods, the fruit. Often found in moist and shaded places, shrublands, stream sides, disturbed areas, and canyons below, or 3,000 feet. according to the info from landscapeplans.oregonstate.edu/plants/rubrus-ursinus. Continue with their family. Then we have the chipmunks that were feeding on their bird feeder. It says in the info about it, chipmunks are small ground-dwelling members of the squirrel family, known for their distinctive stripes and chubby cheeks. They are found throughout North America, as well as in parts of Asia and Europe. Chipmunks are small, furry squirrels that belong to the rodent family. Chipmunks are very adaptable animals that can live in a variety of habitats, such as forests, meadows, and even urban areas. So you might see a chipmunk in your backyard while you're on a hike in the woods. They're found in different colors and patterns, depending on the species and location. Chipmunks have large cheeks that they use to transport food. Chipmunks have special pouches in their cheeks, kind of like a little backpack for their food. They use their pouches to carry food back to their burrows. Taking from factsforkids.com/chipmunk. Chipmunks are what we call diurnal animals. That means they are active during the day and sleep at night. They are most active in the early morning and late afternoon. They spend their days foraging for food, climbing trees, and running around. Chipmunks are excellent climbers and can run very fast. They have strong back legs and sharp claws that help them climb trees and other structures with ease. They are able to run up and down trees, along branches, and even upside down. They're very nimble and agile animals. Chipmunks are omnivores, which means they eat both plants and animals. They have a varied diet that includes nuts, seeds, fruits, insects, and small animals, like worms and snails. They are opportunistic feeders, which means they will eat whatever food is available to them. In addition, chipmunks have a special thumb that helps them hold onto food and climb trees. They are able to climb trees and other structures to help to escape from predators and find food and shelter. They can also run fast, and they can reach up to 21 miles per hour, which allows them to quickly escape from predators. This combination of climbing and running skills makes chipmunks incredibly elusive animals, which makes them hard for predators to catch and allows them to survive in the wild. Next we continue with the cows they saw in that green field. The digestive system takes nourishment from food to use in the body. It has a long tube that begins in the mouth, then goes down to the esophagus, the stomach, and the intestine. The digestive system determines the kind of food a mammal eats. Mammals that eat flesh have a simple stomach and short intestine. God knew flesh would putrefy if kept in the system very long, and so that is the reason their intestines are shorter than the plant-eating animals. Most mammals that eat plants have a more complicated stomach and long intestine. Cows and sheep have four-chambered stomachs. Each chamber aids in helping to break down grass that is eaten by the animal. After a cow has chewed and swallowed enough food, it goes to a quiet spot, like in this diagram here, and ruminates or chews the partially digested cud. This can remind us of how we need to mediate, think over prayerfully and reverently what we have read in God's Word. And here in the diagrams, we see the different parts. We see the large intestine and on one end, the small intestine in between, and the white, the red and blue arrows are those showing you how a cow takes in food and where the cud develops. One is the rumen, which is the outer green part. The two is the reticulum, where it goes, the darker green part on the inside. Three is the omasum, which is sort of like the center of the stomach. And below is the abomasum. We will end the Cecilus family's review with the elk pictures. There are more than 60 kinds of deer, which includes caribou, elk, marsh deer, moose, mule deer, musk deer, and reindeer. Deer live all over the world, in hot, dry deserts, the cold Arctic Circle, but most live in prairies, swamps, or woodlands. Usually male deer are called bucks, while male caribou, elk, and moose are called bulls, and red deer are called stags or harts. Most female deer are called does. Female caribou, ooh, and elk, like in these two pictures, and moose are called cows, and female red deer are hinds. Most young deer are called fawns, but the young caribou, elk, and moose are known as calves. God's people are called meek, merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. From our dear sister Mariello, who took the photo of the sunset at the end of this street over here in New York, we have a small lesson concerning that. Let's think for a moment about how the earth looked at sunset on the fourth day. It was no longer without form, nor covered with darkness. The waters had been gathered together, trees, leaves, flowers, and grass covered the earth. Sun sank out of sight, the stars sparkled brightly in the clear sky, and the light from the moon made the night almost as beautiful as the day. But the work of creation was not yet finished. God had more plans for the earth, so it is with our lives. At each stage of development, we can please God, and yet he has more in store for us. Even though he saw that each step of creation was very good, that was no reason to stop. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. The scripture is the sun, the church is the clock, whose hand point us to, and whose sound tells us the hours of the day. The sun we know, oh, to be sure, and regularly constant in his motion. The clock, as it may fall out, may go too fast or too slow. We are wont to look at and listen to the clock. We knew the time of the day, but where we find the variation sensible, we will leave the sun against the clock, not the clock against the sun. Joseph Hall. Yeah. On the fourth day, God set the heavenly bodies in the heavens as orderly time markers. The moon and the stars were to rule the night, while the sun was to rule the day. They were to divide the day from the night, to regulate, and to continue from that time forward, showing the difference between light and darkness, which has existed from the first orderly day of creation. Let the soul be drawn out and upward, that God may grant us a breath of the heavenly atmosphere. We may keep so nearer to God that in every unexpected trial, our thoughts will turn to him as naturally as the flower turns to the sun. Keep your wants, your joys, your sorrows, your cares, and your fears before God. You cannot burden him. You cannot wear him. Take to him everything that perplexes the mind. Nothing is too great for him to bear, for he holds up worlds. He rules over all the affairs of the universe. Nothing that in any way concerns our peace is too small for him to notice. Sets of Christ, page 99-100. WGD. Page 209, paragraphs 5 and 6. We'll end our nature with Sister Mary Ellis, I think. In our reference reading of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, chapter 35, Beast Be Still, part 7. Continue. The people of Gergesa had before them the living evidence of Christ's power and mercy. They saw the men who have been restored to reason, but they were so fearful in danger of their earthly interests that he who had vanquished the prince of darkness before their eyes was treated as an intruder, and the gift of heaven was turned from their doors. We had not the opportunity of turning from the person of Christ as had the Gergesenes. But still, there are many who refuse to obey his word. Because obedience would involve the sacrifice of some worldly interest. lest his presence shall cause them pecuniary loss, may reject his grace and drive his spirit from her. But far different from the feeling of the restored demoniacs, they desired the company of their deliverer. In his presence, they felt secure from the demons that tormented their lives and wasted their manhood. As Jesus was about to enter the boat, they kept close to his side, knelt at his feet, and begged him to keep them near him, there where they might ever listen to his words. But Jesus bade them go home and tell what great things the Lord had done for them. This is our pages, page 239, paragraph 3. Here was a work for them to do, to go to a heathen home and tell the blessing they had received from Jesus. It was hard for them to be separated from the Savior. Great difficulties were sure to beset them in association with their heathen countrymen, and their long isolation from society seemed to have disqualified them for the work he had indicated. But as soon as Jesus pointed out their duty, they were ready to obey. Not only did they tell all their own households and neighbors about Jesus, but they went through Decapolis, everywhere declaring his power to save and describing how he had freed them from the demons. In doing this work, they could receive a greater blessing than if, really for benefit to themselves, they had remained in his presence. Is in working to spread the good news of salvation that we are brought near to the Savior. This is our Vages, page 239, paragraph. The two restored demoniacs were the first missionaries from Christ sent to preach the gospel in the region of Decapolis. For a few moments, only these men had been privileged to hear the teachings of Christ. Not one sermon from his lips had ever fallen upon their ears. They could not instruct the people as the disciples who had been daily with Christ were able to do, but they bore in their own persons the evidence that Jesus was the Messiah. They could tell what they knew, what they themselves had seen and heard and felt of the power of Christ. This is what everyone can do whose heart has been touched by the grace of God. John, the beloved disciple, wrote that which was us from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen from our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. 1 John 1:1-3. As witnesses for Christ, we are to tell what we know, what we ourselves had seen and heard and felt. We have been following Jesus step by step. We shall have something right to the point to tell concerning the way in which he has led us. We can tell how we have tested his promise and found the promise true. We can bear what we're witness to what we have known of the grace of Christ. This is the witness for which our Lord calls and for want of which the world is perishing. Is that our page 340, paragraph 1? Our three bonus questions. You can find the answers is both in the reading and the Bible. One, what did the people of the area request? The answer is in Mark 5:17. Two, what did the demoniacs want to do? The answer is in Mark 5:18. And three, how did Jesus instruct them? The answer is in Mark 5:19. Now I'll turn the mic back to Mom. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whisper peace within. Peace, perfect peace.
you shall all know. Jesus, we know, and He is all the throne. Amen. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are listening in other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Before the Throne of God Above. You can find it in the hymn book on number 283. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hand. My name is written on his heart. I know the one in heavenly stands. Nothing can bid me this depart. Nothing can bid me this depart. Amen.
When Satan tempts me to despair, and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me.
Behold him there, the risen Lamb. My perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to ask any of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests to open our review section. With prayer, may you mute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Father, blessings everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please protect people who are here, people who are not here. Please protect the things that we're going to be doing with everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear little one. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Scripture Song Singer in the section Promises. This is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, King James.
He careth for you. He careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7.
So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we have the answer to the questions, we are going to take a few minutes to reread our part one of our lesson entitled Go Teach All Nations for Sis in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear one? We are in page 825.
The Desire of Ages, page 825. And continuing, the power of love was in all Christ's healing, and only by partaking of that love through faith can we be instruments for his work. If we neglect to link ourselves in divine connection with Christ, the current of life-given energy cannot flow in rich streams from us to the people. And next slide, please. There were places where the Savior himself could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Now unbelief separates the church from her divine helper. Her hold upon eternal realities is weak. By her lack of faith, God is disappointed and robbed of his glory. The Desire of Ages, page 825, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 825. It is in doing Christ's work that the church has the promise of his presence. Go teach all nations, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. To take his yoke is one of the first conditions of receiving his power. The very life of the church depends upon her faithfulness in fulfilling the Lord's commission. To neglect this work is surely to invite spiritual feebleness and decay. Where there is no active labor for others, love wanes and faith grows dim. Desire of Ages, page 825, paragraph 2, I think that is. 3.
The Desire of Ages, page 825. Christ intends that his ministers shall be educators of the church and gospel work. They are to teach, no baby, they are to teach, no sweetheart. They are to teach the people how to seek and save the lost. But is this the work they are doing? Alas, how many are toiling to fan the spark of life in a church that is ready to die? How many churches are attended like sick? Here's by those who are all, I'm sorry. How many churches are attended like sick lambs by those who ought to be seeking for the lost sheep? All the time, millions upon millions without Christ are perishing. The Desire of Ages, page 825, paragraph 3, and it says on the side, it has multiple pictures, and the one picture that has three lambs, it says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And it also has another picture of a lot of people standing around, and it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 14, King James Version, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Amen.
Divine love has been stirred to its unfathomable depths for the sake of men, and angels marvel to behold the recipients of so great love, a mere surface gratitude. Angels marvel at men's shallow appreciation of the love of God. Heaven stands indignant at the neglect shown to the souls of men. Would we know how Christ regards it? How would a father and mother feel? Did they know that their child, lost in the cold and the snow, had been passed by and left to perish by those who might have said it? Would they not be terribly grieved, wildly indignant? Would they not denounce those murderers with wrath, hot as their tears, intense as their love? The sufferings of every man are the sufferings of God's child. And those who reach out no helping hand to their perishing fellow beings provoke his righteous anger. This is the wrath of the Lamb. To those who claim fellowship with Christ, yet have been indifferent to the needs of their fellow men, he will declare in the great judgment day, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. From Luke 13, verse 27, and the Desire of Ages, page 825, paragraph 4.
Desire of Ages, page 826. In the commission to his disciples, Christ did not only outline their work, but gave them their message. Teach the people, he said, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The disciples were to teach what Christ had taught, that which he had spoken, not only in person, but through all the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament, is here included. Human teaching is shut out. And it says in the bottom left corner, next to the Bible, Ephesians 4:15, King's Version, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Continuing the reading, God bless you, everyone. Desire of Ages, page 826. There is no place but tradition for men, theories, and conclusion for the church legislation. No law ordained by ecclesiastical authority are included in this commission. None of these are Christ's servant to teach. The law and the prophets which record on his own word and deed. Next slide, please. On the next side of the reading, it says, however, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines of commandment a man. Mark 7:7. And in the bottom says, Matthew 22:40, on these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophet. Amen, everyone.
Continuing, or the treasure committed to the disciples to be given to the world, Christ's name is their watchword, their badge of distinction, their bond of union, the authority for their course of action, and the source of their success. Nothing that does not bear his superscription is to be recognized in his kingdom. Desire of Ages 826. 1.
Have a blessing, dear ones, and I'm going to just read the two scripture just in case our dear brother is not able to do it.
Yeah, I can do it, but I don't see it. Sorry. Let me continue.
It's okay. It's okay.
Let me continue. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, King James Version. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And below it says Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, King James Version. to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no truth in them, I think. It's blocked by what it's written.
It's okay, Dad. I will do it for you by God's grace. Have a blessing, everyone that came in. It is because there is no light in them. Have a blessing, everyone. So what have we learned in ways we have grown, dear ones? Let's consider our verse for our review and the answer of them. The scripture is from 1 Peter 3:15 in James Version. Vos sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks
you
be not of the hope is in you with meekness and fear. Amen. So for those that are not able to see the screen, we're going to read off the 6th question. And if you're moved to be able to share your answer, dear ones, for the blessing and edification and the glory of God, you may do so by unmuting your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2 is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And number 6, what do you learn from these lessons? If you would like to take number 1, dear ones, may you mute your mic.
Number 1, who's the main character or characters? Here we see it's Christ and the disciples. But number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? For the main idea for this section of our story is the word of God that is to be preached to all nations, kindred, and tongue. We see that the Lord have the disciples being learned and going out to share the word from their experiences and from their connection with Him. We must first take on Christ and be joined with Him in order to be able to do this work. For this section of the story, where did it take place? It didn't explicitly say, but we know that this work is not just for Israel, it's for the entire world. Number 4, when did the story begin? We see that this has been going since the coming of Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, and for Him after His resurrection, all the works that led up to this section of our story. So it's an everlasting gospel.
Mike answered a question about how can you relate to this story. After Christ's resurrection and he reunited with them, he wanted everyone in the world to hear, not just his own country only. Therefore, that was the main thing that he wanted for his disciples and why he wanted them at him in all his travels and all his ministry. So the way they could continue the work for him, and so they can give it not just to Israel, but also all other parts of the world, so that everyone can know, understand, and love him as they do. And that's even the same case for us too. For us to do the same thing.
The thing that I learned from this lesson is that the kids from the Sabbath are not too young to, or not too old to learn from the Sabbath. Or to do the work of God.
Does anybody else would like to share? By God's grace, the beautiful theme that we have in this specific part of our study, in this part six, if you notice that the Lord says here what it is that he had shared with you, whatever it is that the Lord had done in your life, you can be able to be a witness for him as well, no matter your age, no matter where you are, even in your household, in whatever avenue in your work, or even anyone that you come across. The love of Jesus is something that kind of push the regents to be able to see who he really is, because the type of love that Christ has for his, not only his disciple, but for the world, is something we can only learn from him. When Jesus touches our heart, we want to be able to tell everyone the goodness that he has done. I remember when I first heard the message, I came to my family, and I also had gathered a lot of my friends, and I invited them. This is the first time that they was not invited for nothing else, but only for the word of God. And many of my friends that came, some of them felt that it was kind of strange, because every time when we got together, it was something to be able to celebrate or something that was really worldly. But I wanted my friends to be able to know what the Lord had done. So by inviting all of them, out of all the ones that I invited, I was only able to at least reach two. These are the two that remain to be able to hear what it is that the Lord had done. And they continue on as well as they left. We can always proclaim Christ wherever we are. It doesn't matter the quantity or who it is, the Lord is going to continue, just like a farmer, as you spread the seeds. You're not there to be able to see what sprout, but you know that the generated principle, which is the power of Christ in the heart of man, can continue to do the work. So it doesn't matter if it's the little ones, a word in season, the Lord can be able to continue multiplying that seed that you would share with him. Is there anybody else that would like to share their one? May you unmute your mic. We are going to continue, dear ones. We have thoughts and also poem and special music. The thought is taken from our devotional book, Maranatha, chapter 215, entitled Character, A Quality of the Soul. And we have a reflection from chapter 20, entitled Joseph in Egypt. And the opening scripture to our section is taken from Job 28:18, and it reads, "No mention shall be made of coral or pearl, for the price of wisdom is above rubies." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Go ahead, dear one. Go ahead.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Okay, little sister. A character formed according to the divine likeness is the only treasure that we can take from this world to the next. Those who are under the instruction of Christ in this world will take every divine attainment with them to the heavenly mansions. And in heaven, we are continually to improve. Mental ability and genius are not character, for these are often possessed by those who have the very opposite of a good character. Reputation is not character. True character is a quality of the soul revealing itself in the conduct. Maranatha, page 223, paragraph 2 through 3. Thank you again, little one.
A good character is a capital of more value than gold or silver. It is unaffected by panics or failures. And in that day when earthly possessions shall be swept away, it will bring rich returns. Integrity, firmness, and perseverance are qualities that all should seek earnestly to cultivate, for they clothe the possessor with a power which is irresistible, a power which makes him strong to do good, strong to resist evil, strong to bear adversity. Maranatha, page 223, paragraph 4. Amen. Thank you, dear brother.
Continuing the reading, strength of character consists of two things, power of will and power of self-control. Many youth mistake strong, uncontrolled passion for strength of character, but the truth is that he who is mastered by his passion is a weak man. The real greatness and nobility of the man is measured by his power to subdue his feelings, not by the power of his feelings to subdue him. The strongest man is he who, while sensitive to abuse, will yet restrain passion and forgive his enemies. Maranatha, page 223, paragraph 5. Amen.
If it were considered as important that the young possessive and a beautiful character and amiable disposition as it is that they imitate the fashions of the world in dress and deportment. We would see hundreds where there is one today coming up the stage, upon the stage of active life, prepared to exert and ennobling influence upon society. Maranatha, 223, paragraph 6.
Continuing the reading. Our lives may seem a tangle, but as we commit ourselves to the wise master worker, he will bring out the pattern of life and character that will be to his own glory. And that character which expresses the glory, character of Christ, will be received into the paradise of God. Maranatha, page 224, paragraph 4.
Everyone who by faith obeys God's commandments will reach the condition of sinlessness in which Adam lived before the transgression Maranatha, page 224, paragraph 5, from chapter 216, entitled Christ Our Helper and Redeemer. And as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of the one of one shall many be made righteous. Romans 5, paragraph 5, verse 19, King James Version.
Reflection from Job chapter 28, verse 28, KJV. And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. He who lives in accordance with the Creator's will is securing to himself the truest and noblest development of character. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Again, from Job chapter 28, verse 28. There are few who realize the influence of the little things of life upon the development of character. Nothing with which we have to do is really small. The varied circumstances that we meet day by day are designed to test our faithfulness and to qualify us for greater trust. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 222.
Paragraph 2 and page 223, taken from chapter 20 of the same book, Patriarchs and Prophets, Joseph in Egypt, pages 222 to 224.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. We have a poem, and the poem is entitled The Self-Denying Example of Christ, and that is taken from Children Bible Activity, Book Year 2, Quarter 1, Lesson 11, in page 242. On Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear one?
Number 1. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, once became a child like me. Oh, that in my whole behavior, he made partner still. He my partner still might be. Sorry about that.
Go ahead, your sister.
Thank you, Brother Joe. All my nature is unholy. Pride and passion dwell within. But the Lord was meek and lowly and was never known to sin.
Three, while I'm often vainly trying some new pleasure to possess, he was always self-denying, patient in his worst distress.
Lord, assist a feeble creature, guide me by thy word of truth, condescend to be my teacher through my childhood and my youth.
Often I shall be forgetful of the lessons thou hast taught, idle, passionate, and fretful, or indulging, foolish talk.
Six. Then permit me not to harden in my sin and be content, but bestow a gracious pardon and assist me to repent. And two.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brethren. And we have the special music, and the special music is taken from our lesson book, The Desire of All Nations, in memory verse CD, volume 2. It's Job 28:28.
Thank you.
Dear ones, we might be a little bit over. If you have any testimony or anything you would like to share, we could do so between the services or after the services. We have come to the ending of our review, dear ones. We will continue with part 7 of our lesson book entitled The Desire Ages in our lesson, God Teach All Nations. If any one of the little one, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close our family meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
We may bow our heads and let us sleep as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. Father, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day, and we thank you for your rich blessings during this day. We thank you for the rest that you have provided for us. We pray, Father Jesus, in this day for anyone that is not feeling well. We pray for the little ones and their parents as well. Continue to be with us, Father Jesus, throughout the rest of this day. Continue to provide your lessons, the understanding to your lessons and the blessings from your word, I pray. Be with us all here today. Provide a rich blessing for each individual. Please be with the speaker in the next section, Father. Continue to bless him. Continue to provide the words that he will impart to us, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to be sharing part 7 of our lesson entitled Go Teach All Nation, and that will take place on August 16, 2025. And that will be lesson 441. Leaving the scripture and also a little small quote. The scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 8:7, King James Version, and it reads, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." And from the quote is taken from Manuscript Releases, pages 111, paragraph 3, "Christ's death and resurrection completed his covenant. Before this time, it was revealed through types and shadows, which pointed to the great offering to be made by the world's Redeemer, offered in promise for the sins of the world. Anciently, believers were saved by the same Savior as now, but it was a God veil. They saw God's mercy in figures. The promise given to Adam and Eve in Eden was the gospel to a fallen race. The promise was made that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, and it should bruise his heel. Christ's sacrifice is the glorious fulfillment of the whole Jewish economy. The Son of Righteousness has risen. Christ, our righteousness, is shining in brightness upon us." May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.